Hi, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of Beverage Chronicles. I'm your host, Gary Monteroso. Hope everyone is having a good week. You know, I've been reviewing beverages, specifically beers, for about 32 years now, and invariably, when people see me or are introduced to me perhaps for the first time, the question that usually comes up is, what's your favorite beer? I get this all the time. And I really don't have one particular beer that I always go to. I think they call them desert island beers. You know, what's the one beer that you would never want to be without? I can rather mention styles. And the beers, the style of beer that really gets me, my favorite would be Belgian ales. They have gained global fame for their unique styles, rich history, complex flavors. They're one of the most admired categories in the world. There's a long-standing tradition that started with, you know, monastic and farmhouse brewing, evolving into the innovative breweries that respect and modernize these customs. I think a key reason for the popularity of Belgian ales is their incredible variety. You have what's called triples and strong blonde ales like Duvel, to doubles, dark quadruples, lambics, saisons. Each style has its own distinct traits, but they share a common yeast character. Some beers, such as the Trappist ales, have monastic roots, with a few abbeys still crafting world-class, highly regarded beers today. The lambic phenomenon, known for its very unusual fermentation style, and also fruity, sour flavors, has had a resurgence in the last few years. The global interest in Belgians can be partly attributed to the export of the brands and their enthusiastic response and acceptance by craft beer communities all around the world. Yeah, it's true that Pilsner still dominate beer production and consumption in Belgium, but the Belgian ales have established a unique status as complex, premium selections enjoyed both locally and internationally. Brewers often maintain centuries-old branding, bottle conditioning, and distinctive glassware, which enhances their allure and strengthens their traditional charm. Despite the shift towards modern trends in other regions, Belgian ales, they remain true to their roots. Again, relying on those unique Belgian yeast strains, careful brewing techniques, and flavors that range from dry and spicy to malty and sweet. Today, the Belgian ale category continues to grow, both here in the U.S. and on the global stage, with enthusiasts and casual drinkers alike celebrating its rich legacy and lasting popularity. So, a couple of weeks ago, I traveled to Delaware, Newcastle, Delaware, for an annual event, a relatively new event. It's the Newcastle Belgian Beer Festival. It's small, only sell a couple hundred tickets, but there's some very, very unique beers. So again, I spent some time there and I got to interview the founder of the event. And also I talked with a person who I believe was attending for the first time. So how about if we listen to both of those interviews right now? The historic Newcastle Belgian Beer Festival is a home run, recognized, I think it was in 2024, by USA Today as one of the best in the nation, which says a lot. And I am with
Justin Day.
Justin Day, you put this thing together. Putting a festival together is not an easy thing. How did this come down?
Well, you're right. It's not easy because especially with doing Belgian beers, because, you know, they're a little bit harder to find, a little bit harder to recognize. But, you know, we thought it was a shame for that reason, because not many people have access to these beers. So the only best way I can get the word out is to make it available to them in a format where they can come and try as many things as they want in a comfortable setting, and you know, remove the stigma, if there is any, on some of these beers.
You really brought up a good point, because especially since COVID, now I'm in southern New Jersey, and what I found is that since COVID, I can't get the Belgian ale so much in my area. Has COVID affected you? Have you had any issues getting some of your product?
Well, of course. I mean, all the supply chain shut down because of COVID. Mm-hmm. And, you know, but that was expected. What's really great is it's coming roaring back. And so what that tells me is that people are hungry for new and different beers and the beers that they were familiar with before COVID. So, you know, beers in general is certainly not a dying thing. Luckily, these things are coming back to us, and I want to make sure everyone remembers.
I have to say this, transitioning to Belgian ales was not an overnight process. So like everyone else, I started drinking Bud Miller and Coors, and that's not a put down at them because they're doing some wonderful things. Worked my way into craft beers, and then someone, I actually was in Washington, D.C., turned me on to Belgian ales, and there was no turning back. Is this a story that you hear?
Oh, it is actually the story. My restaurant, coming up on my 29th year.
And let's mention the restaurant. What is it?
Oh, it's Jessup's Tavern and Colonial Restaurant.
Number one tavern in Newcastle.
Ah, there we go!
In historic Newcastle in Delaware. And when I first opened up, I didn't have all these Belgian beers. It was always an aspiration, but there simply wasn't the availability or the access. It wasn't something that came along. So I had no problem with domestic beers and all their greatness. But as time went along, that world opened up. I think the perception people have, unfortunately, with some of these Belgian beers and European beers is that they're big and they're dark and they're ominous. And those do exist, but they're not ominous. They just seem ominous. So my goal was to show people with practical examples in front of them in a glass that that's not the case, and that you don't have to always rely on your standby. There are incredible beers out there in the world that will satisfy you and absolutely blow you away on top of your already favorite beer.
Perhaps interestingly, I've talked with several chefs who tell me that they like Belgian beers because they pair so well with food.
They do, because I always like to remind people that when it comes to Belgian beer, the processes, the philosophies, and the work towards them is very similar to how you make wine. It's a sense of place, it's a sense of water, good water, mm-hmm. and propagated yeast. And it's about refinement. So that's when a chef looks to wine, because mm-hmm. it creates such balanced flavors. And Belgian beer does the same thing. It's just not using grapes. It's now using hops, barley, and yeast, mm-hmm. right? Very simple ingredients that can be turned into something amazing. So chefs absolutely use that because it pairs very well like a wine would.
Absolutely. I notice each year. Now, this is year what for the festival?
This is our fourth year.
This is fourth year. Yeah. I'm noticing more and more women coming out.
Absolutely. Wow. I couldn't be prouder, because that was sort of one of my goals. I can single-handedly tell you I've converted more women to Belgian beer, because they just didn't realize that, like I said earlier, they all think it's this big, scary thing that they're not going to enjoy. Mm-hmm. But the Belgians love fruited beers. Mm-hmm. Delectable sour beers. These are things that everyone enjoys, and by putting these beers in front of a lady and they try it, they go, "Oh, I had no idea," and now they can't get enough. Now they're fighting their husbands to come.
Let's talk briefly in terms of festivals. We noticed that some of the larger festivals are scaling down a bit.
Yes,
and I don't know what's your attendance for an event like this.
We cap it off at 200 people. We want it to be an intimate situation.
And that's great, because no one is standing in line for a long time to get his or her sample.
Correct, because, and honestly, these beers are big, these bigs are, you know, they're complex and they're unique, and you need time in the space to drink them and savor them. And if it's a free-for-all and you have to wait in line, you kind of lose the message and you kind of lose the whole thing.
I have to mention also that your vendors are very knowledgeable in their product. And as someone who maybe has not tried all these different beers, I question them, and they always seem to have the answers for me.
Well, these are my partners. They are the guys that help me from all – they import all this stuff. And so their entire lives are dedicated to helping myself and others understand what these beers are about. Mm-hmm. So – the fact that they're willing to come out, on a Saturday and spend several hours mm-hmm. to help show these beers off is I can't thank them enough. And, I know some stuff, but they know it intimately. Like, you know, they have a pipeline to the brewery, and they know exactly what they're thinking. I rely on them to give me the information as well.
Talk to me very briefly about Jessup's. Give me a website on Jessup's.
Oh, so it's Jessup's-tavern.com. Mm-hmm. And we are a historical colonial tavern.
How old's the building?
1674.
That's what I heard.
Yeah.
I didn't know that originally.
Yeah, the front part, the original part, was built in 1674. And it was named after Abraham Jessup, who lived in the house in 1724. And
Very cool.
He was a barrel maker. So,
is that right? I didn't know that either.
And barrels were, until to this day, are very important.
Well, again, this event is the nth degree in beer appreciation. It's absolutely phenomenal. These are beers that I can't get at home, so it's a once-in-a-year experience for me.
Well, that makes it all worthwhile. That's the whole reason we do it, is to make sure people are getting to try things they've never had before and to try the things they had before again.
Justin Day, thanks for joining us here on Beverage Chronicles.
I appreciate it, Gary. Thank you.
Thank you. And I'm talking with...
Siobhan.
From...
Delaware.
Okay, from Delaware. I want to ask you this question. Now, first of all, in terms of beer festivals are kind of scaling down. You've seen that. The larger beer festivals are, if not discontinuing, at least cutting back on what they're doing. What is there an attraction about something small like this?
I think a smaller beer festival creates more of an intimate environment.
Mm-hmm.
So I like that there is a specific type of beer. You either love it or you don't. Or if you're interested, you could come out to try a different type of beer. And Belgians happen to be my favorite, so I was really excited when my friends and I saw that this beer festival was going on, because we hadn't heard of it before, probably because it's smaller, so really excited to be here, having a good time.
So this is your first time attending, then?
Yes, it is.
Okay, now, I gotta ask you this, because you're young.
Yes.
I'm old, you're young. How did you get into Belgian ales? Because in my opinion, Belgian ales are like the nth degree in beer appreciation. Mm-hmm. I started drinking back in the day, you know, the Bud, Miller, and the Coors of the world, and slowly transitioned to Belgian ales. But you had an interesting story that you told me before we started.
Yes, absolutely. So my older brother is a huge craft beer person. So when I became of age to start drinking beers,
right.
He was pretty strict about what sort of beers I should be drinking.
Good for him. He's a good guy.
So he started taking me to a lot of different beer festivals in Maryland, Delaware, a bunch of different places. And I feel like I was drawn to the Belgian beer festival because of the flavor, because of the flavor, the palate. I feel like they're all very smooth beers, regardless of, you know, what brewery you're looking at or what type of beer that you're having. I feel like I like Belgians by far more than any other type of beer that I've had.
That is so unique. And that's amazing, because like I said, it's not easy for everyone to appreciate. And some people never get to the point where they like Belgian ales. What I particularly like about them is they're quite food friendly as well.
Mm-hmm.
Do you ever match beverage with food?
I do. I'm not very good at it, but I'd like to pretend.
None of us are, but no, that's okay. That's okay. Tell me about it.
Absolutely. So I try
and
to pair.
It could be wine. It could be beer. Whatever.
Oh yes, wine for sure. Absolutely. I try to stick, you know, the dark meats, beef, steak, with red wine, and then the white wines with like fish and chicken with beer. I feel like it's almost the same sort of situation, mm-hmm. but like a lighter, easier beer. Something like fish and chips at Jessup's is always perfect to have with a Belgian. And then some of the darker beers as well, you want with something a little heartier. So that's what my recommendation would be as an amateur food recommender.
Well, you're a little bit more than amateur, I can tell you that. What did you find here that you particularly enjoyed? Was there a beer or a couple of beers that really stood out?
Wow. So I had a new type of Belgian rosé that I hadn't had before.
Okay.
I can't remember the name of the brewery. It was at Table 7, but that one was delicious. Mm-hmm. It had such a smooth finish, a lot of different flavors going on, and I love rosé, so it was a perfect blend of my favorite style of beer with one of my favorite styles of wine.
So you also drink wine, obviously, you say that, and there's a relationship between Belgian ales and wines, right?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. And I feel like it's the same sort of thing. There's different light flavor palettes that can really pull out different sorts of interest that you like. You know, some people like a sour beer, a heartier beer, mm-hmm. a stout. So it's really about just finding what it is that you look for. But since I'm a wine drinker and a beer drinker, I like a lot of different things.
You have the best of both worlds.
Yes, exactly.
Thanks for talking with us today.
Absolutely. Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
If you're interested in a new beer drinking experience, check out some Belgian ales when you go to your favorite purveyor of beverages. Well, that's it for this week's episode of Beverage Chronicles. Gary Monteroso saying, see you next week.